let's head back to Bradford. And a, well, sounds like a very quiet Oxford Stadium now, because I'm guessing everyone's, well, they're starting to leave early. Gary Schofield is still there, and let's reflect on this game first, Gary. And first of all, let's say, well done, Dewsbury. It sounds like a perfect performance, perfect tactics from their coaching staff.
Yeah, it was indeed, and to say, certainly for the first 40 minutes, which is that the attitude from the Dewsbury Rams, well, for the full 80 minutes for them, but the first half themselves, they asked plenty of questions of the Bulls' defence and playing the right tactics. Great management from the halfbacks in Paul Sykes and Andy Kane, getting them around the park and asking plenty of questions of the Bulls' defence on the edges, and yeah, scored two decent tries in the first half. But the game management in the second half, they knew that they didn't have to do a great lot, because quite simply the Bulls were pathetic. The enthusiasm just wasn't there, and when you looked at the half-back partnership in Mavers and Thomas, and Thomas, he was taken off at half-time, didn't show anything whatsoever, never came back on, and they put Danny Addy there, but there was nothing from Mavers or Danny Addy. And the big head scratcher here is, if Adam O'Brien had been on from the start, you may have thought that the Bulls would have won. And he came on at half time. The 40 minutes what he produced was quite simply, you know, the best Bradford player out for sure. But the Rams out infused, out and smarted, and quite simply, and on the scoreboard, won by 2 points. But if this is one of the best what the Bradford Bulls have got, I'll tell you what, mate, they can forget about getting to Super League, not just this season, but for many, many more seasons to come, because quite simply, they were pathetic, awful, and no enthusiasm whatsoever.
And this is the big mystery, isn't it, to anyone watching, especially the Bulls fans in the crowd. They'll be thinking, we are full-time professionals.
Yep.
These people, their jobs is to be rugby league players. And Dewsbury's players are not. They are semi-professional. And I'm not saying they're not good rugby players, but they have other things to do as well as train to win rugby league matches. And yet, as you say, they've had the better attitude, better enthusiasm. And that shouldn't happen, should it?
No, it's as simple as that. No, it shouldn't happen. But some of the mistakes and some of the passing and some of the tackling from the Bulls was quite simple. You don't expect from under eights. And as I say, everybody knows here, Mark Wilson said it in comments, that the Bulls have needed halfbacks now for the last 2 or 3 years, and quite simply with Richie Mavers there, it's just not going to work. He might as well be sat in the stand with me, because that's as bad as much use as what he is as a halfback, being on the rugby league field. So no, there's huge problems here at the Bulls from the playing side, and getting him around the park, and there's no shape there whatsoever. But the big problem here today was, and you talk about being total professional full time, was their attitude, and their attitude today quite simply wasn't there.
There must be halfbacks out there. I mean, we know Travis Burns has just gone
yep.
to Lee, and I'm sure the name Bradford Bull still has some cachet. I mean, there must be halfbacks at clubs below them in the table. Who
well, I tell you what,
why aren't they signing them?
Well, I tell you what, Richie, I've mentioned a halfback over at Warrington, Young Patton, and I've mentioned it to a couple of club chairmen myself. Go get him, because he could get you around the park, and I'm surprised here the Bulls haven't looked, because we know there's a relationship here now. We Smith the coach at Bradford. Obviously, we know Tony there at Warrington. But yeah, Patton at Warrington's a quality halfback. And I'll tell you who it is. Yeah, I've mentioned it to Mark Campbell, the Featherstone chairman, also to Ian Crowe at Halifax, about this young kid, because the search for halfbacks themselves, and nobody better than this club here themselves wanted one. And young Patton's a good player. He'll do the job for them, get them around the park. And yeah, it's a mystery to everybody. But as I say, mate, the big situation here now for the Bulls was quite simply no enthusiasm, no and I say commitment to the cause, and I say the attitude quite simply was pathetic. It was.
And obviously with wins today for Featherstone and Halifax and Batley are around them in the table,
puts the pressure on.
Well, they could be set on the top four, which
we've had out.
You know, I don't like using the word because it's the wrong word to use in terms of sport, but in terms of a sporting context, disastrous for
us. There's no two ways about it, and you know, all the noise is what they make from this place here, certainly from the top, from the chairman in Mark Green, and the chief executive in the Steve Furness, and at times Robbie Paul. You know, this is a Super League club. You know, well, I'll tell you what, it's still a Super League club off the field, and one thing for sure, on the field, it's nowhere near. Let's just say, as I said in comments, Richie, that you know, the Bradford Bulls got into the million-pound game and they was playing Leeds, and we know how Leeds are playing at this moment in time. Leeds would hammer these by 40, 50 points, so that just tells you, even still, the huge gulf. They would absolutely hammer them.
We'll get on to Leeds in a minute, but I just want to say, just on Dewsbury as well, big win for them, of course, because it leaves them 2 points clear of Whitehaven, Oldham, Workington and Sheffield, who are the bottom four now in the division. So a big win for them after a run of some poor results for Dewsbury.
Yeah, it has been. Let's hope now this will kick start the season for them, because they had a good start to the season. They was up there certainly for a few games, around about four or five games, and they've dropped off now for the, I think the last seven or eight games been pretty poor and pretty inconsistent. So now hopefully in the second part of the season, what they got left, five games for Ritchie, so hopefully now they're in for a big end and they won't be struggling to avoid the relegation spot there. But on this performance, certainly, you know, from the attitude and the way they played for the full 18 minutes from 1 to 17, these guys won't have an issue regarding, you know, thinking about relegation.
We're talking about teams who've bounced back from poor positions. Batley Bulldogs, so they had that poor run and they're still third in the table now. So, you know, they could be, depending on how the fixtures work out, and of course they have to stay in that position and they'll be under pressure from Halifax and Featherstone as well as Bradford. But Batley Bulldogs could be in the top four and welcoming Leeds and Huddersfield to Mount Pleasant. They could have some bumper crowds coming up. That's it's a big incentive for them. They're not going to get promoted, you wouldn't think, but there could be some big paydays.
Absolutely, you know, and that's what the clubs want, don't they? And they say they know the limitations, you know, to Batley, but yeah, they would be delighted to be in the middle eights, as you just mentioned there, from a money point of view and the crowds and the atmosphere, what they'll get there at the old Crown Flat Stadium. So yeah, well done to the players and John Keir there at Batley. And at the end of the day, any coach will tell you, even I will tell you, Richie, from a point of view, it's all about consistency in performance, and that's what it is. And Ronan Smith here now, has he been in charge? Is it two games or three games he's been in charge now? And well, certainly the last two performances, okay, the lead last week, you'd expect that the attitude would be okay because they're up against the best team in the division, but here today, absolutely pathetic. And if they keep showing this sort of attitude, they're going absolutely nowhere. And one thing for sure, they're not going in the middle eight or nowhere near the million-pound game.
Well, I guess it's easy for players to get up for a game against Leeds.
Easy, absolutely.
For a game today. Correct. Again, no disrespect to Dewsbury.
This is your bread and butter, isn't it? This is your bread and butter performances, and this is where you're expected to win, and this is where you're expected to put markers down. And I say expect teams, you know, and I would imagine, you know, the small group of Dewsbury fans who was here today as well, Rich, but they were absolutely delighted with the performance. But even when they came here today, the way that Dewsbury have been performing, okay, they may say it's a bit of a local derby between the two teams, but they would have been expected, like most body will, that they get beat by about 20, 24 points. And, you know, if Dewsbury could hang in there for 20, 30 minutes, and the Bulls class will go over, but quite simply, it didn't happen. The Rams had the right attitude, the right commitment, quite simply, the Bulls didn't have it.
Let's get to Super League. We'll start with Thursday's game. Big disappointment for Wakefield, being hammered by Hull Kingston Rose, who were very impressive. 54 points to 16. Let's start with Rovers, who, you know, they've been, well, not very good all season, but timing a run here because they're now only 3 points behind Widnes in that race for eighth place.
Yeah, they are. And one thing for sure, if Teddy Campese was still playing now in what we know on the Sunday afternoon at 5:15, I still don't think he would have been tackled, to be honest. Maybe he were that good. And if he would have been there for all the season, and you know, everybody saw on Thursday night what a quality play he is, and he gets him around the park. It's just like an old-fashioned standoff, and he's great to watch. And Albert Kelly just pays that compliment because he's a support player. But quite simply, Hull KR ripped into Wakefield, and Wakefield had no answer. And, you know, the wheels of Wakefield now, well, that's the second wheel that's fallen off with that performance against Salford the week before there. So there's a few more questions to be asked of the Wakefield players, and I'm sure Chris Chester will be looking for the answer from them, because against Salford it was a bit of a soft performance when you saw the charge in there. But take nothing away from Hull Kingston Rovers. They wanted that victory far more, I would say, Richard, the Wakefield players wanted it on Thursday night.
Well, obviously that's a big game for them coming up next Sunday, live on Radio Yorkshire Way at Huddersfield, too. A team they've got to play twice next few weeks, obviously, with that Challenge Cup quarter final as well.
Yeah, it is. And as I say, they're still nicely in that top eight, but they're still going to need another victory, or maybe two victories to cement that. So yeah, the pressure's coming back on these players now, so it'll be quite interesting how they're going to handle this pressure, because it is going to be there. You know, the fans, even the chairman in Michael Carton, and I would imagine it's himself, Chris Chester, with what they've been doing over the last 3 months since he's taken over, they're expected to make the eight now, so pressure is on.
Certainly missed the Max Jowett, I thought, at fullback. Not that Craig Hall had a bad game in that position, but just the way they dealt with the high ball, and again, Ben Jones-Bishop being out as well didn't help. They just couldn't deal with kicks from Hull Kingston Rovers in the first half. Well, throughout the game, it was a very strange game in terms of the performance.
Yeah, but I think at times, though, some of the defence, you know, from Wakefield was pretty soft and pretty poor, and, you know, ask about the commitment from there. But I think it was just a masterclass from Campese, to be honest with you. And so you just got to give credits where it's due. And you know, he was a delight to watch. And well, look, it's the Rovers. If they're going to run now, and You know, I think they've got six games left. I think they've got four home games out of that six, so they'll be pretty competitive, and they'll be playing with plenty of confidence. There's no doubt about that.
There was a comment in the press room that it was ironic that Chris Chester had tried to get Campese and Kelly fit together at the same time and couldn't manage it, and then James Webster gets them fit for the first game he plays against Chris Chester.
That's just how the lady look goes for him, isn't it? It is.
We'll move on to Friday, and we'll stick with Hull because they are top of the table, Hull FC, with a battling win over the Widnes Vikings. It looks like that win last week against Huddersfield was a blip, perhaps, and Hull still sitting proud at the top of the table and 2 points clear of the field. And again, got to give all the credit to Lee Radford's men. They're still doing the business.
They are still doing the business, and again, not too overexcited about the performance, is it, Radders? But at the end of the day, they're finding their way to win, and I say we all know what Widnes did to them early in the season, don't we? And it was, you would say, with the right attitude that Hull were going to get the 2 points. But a win's a win. They're at the top of the league. They're pretty happy. The camp will be absolutely delighted where they're sitting. And as Radders will tell you now, it's all about at times coming to the business end of the season. We're not so far away from that for about another 4 or 5 weeks. So he'll be looking to hit the straps. A win's a win, and they're sitting nice at the top of the league. And yeah, he'll be delighted.
A big win for Hull. Warrington just behind them, who beat St Helens on Friday night. Sounded quite comfortably in the end, 26 points to 4. And it's strange. We may as well merge this in to talk about Leeds, because I was at Headingley on Friday night and thought that going forward Leeds weren't brilliant, but I thought their defence was much improved against the Cantland side, who should have won by plenty more than they did. They only scored that try in the last minute to really make it comfortable in that one. But you sense that Brian McDermott isn't under too much pressure, yet the pressure builds on St Helens coach Kieran Cunningham, the fifth in the table. And it's strange, isn't it, the way that's panned out at the moment.
Yeah, it is. I've heard, you know, the Leeds fans who I speak to and this sort of thing, yeah, they were pretty more happy with the infusion and a bit more commitment, but still, Richie, it's a defeat, and a defeat at Headingley. You know, they've always done pretty well against the Catalans at times, so it's another defeat, and again, they're still at the bottom of the league. But no, I don't think Macca's under pressure, and it'll be up to Brian himself, and it'll be up to Gary Empton at the end of the season, whatever they decide to do. But when you look at the over the Pennines, when you look at Kieran Cunningham, boy oh boy, they are very, very ordinary. And what I'm led to believe is that Warrington quite easily could have got 50-60, and it looked like at times they were just playing like a pre-season game, and that just tells you that all's not right at St Helens. And one thing for sure, mate, it's not just a style of play. The play and the St Helens fans realistically are baying. They are baying for Kieran, who, as we all know. And do you know what is a bit of a funny thing about this? They're saying Kieran at this moment in time is not getting sacked because they've got a statue outside the stadium. I find this pretty hard to believe, because Eamon McManus, he will always do the best. He will always do the best what is for St Helens. And if he feels it right that Kieran has to be sacked, he will sack him, whether he's got a statue out there or not. But it's interesting, the St Helens fans are quite simply just saying one of the greatest players that's ever played for that club is keeping his job is because he's got a statue outside the stadium. I find it pretty hard to believe.
Well, I mean, whatever sport we talk about, it does not necessarily go that great players make great coaches. I'm looking at the...
A bit harsh, Richie.
I'm looking at the list of the members of the Rugby League Hall of Fame.
Yeah, sling me in.
You're in there, but, you know, there aren't too many men on that list who have been both great players and great coaches. So it doesn't always fall that way. And, you know, there's all this talk at the moment with Man United and Ryan Giggs, and should he do this and should he do that? How do we know Ryan Giggs is going to be a great manager? He could have just had a job there at Man United, putting the cones out for the last couple of years just because they don't want to leave him away, lose him from the club. But this won't tarnish his legacy as a player, will it? So it's not going to tarnish why they've got the statue outside the club.
Exactly, yeah, I agree. It won't tarnish him as a legendary player for St Helens, one a little bit. But also, wasn't it right? Isn't it right this season as well? He extended his contract by 12 months. He's got his contract now while 2018, I think, Kieran at St Helens. So, hey, listen, at the end of the day, Eamon McManus will do whatever's the best for St Helens, whether you're a legend or you're not a legend. Quite simply, if you're not up to the job, and if the results aren't going to look as though where you're going to be in the top four, fighting for the Challenge Cup, which we know they haven't been, and they're fighting for the grand final, quite simply, he will replace him. It's as simple as that. And when, and I say, when we look down the road, the other side of Pennines at the Leeds Rhinos, I'm sure, you know, Brian himself and Gary, we all know what a huge disappointment season this has been. It's been, you mentioned the word 5 minutes ago, disastrous, and that's what it's been at Henley this season. And I'm sure the two will sit down at the end of the season and do what's best for the club.
I mean, just sticking with St Helens for a moment, and what doesn't make much sense is Luke Walsh is out injured, so you let your other half, one of your other half-backs in Travis Burns, go out on loan to Lee. And obviously Cunningham doesn't fancy him, but this is a player they spent money on 12 months ago.
Spent a lot of money on, not just on his contract, but also to the transfer fee. Hey, listen, mate, it's as simple as this. Listen, if the coach doesn't fancy you, if the coach doesn't like you, you're not going to get picked. It doesn't matter who you are. It's as simple as that. And obviously, Travis Burns doesn't fit into the criteria what Kieran Cunningham wants. So, again, you ask the question, you know, who did sign Travis Burns? And was it Kieran or was it Mike Rush or whoever the scouting system there who signed him? And quite clearly, Kieran doesn't want him. And if a coach doesn't want you, it doesn't matter who you are, how good you are, you will not be selected. And as we all know now, he's a Lee player and he'll be doing his best to get Lee into Super League.
Just back to Leeds and 14,000 odd there on Friday. Obviously, the majority of them from Leeds because Thailand's don't bring too many to away fixtures. But again, the most impressive players again in the Leeds line, it were the young players coming through who are giving it everything. And you know, you could sense the frustration a couple of times when there were knock-ons or handing errors from Danny Maguire. You could see in his body language how frustrated he was. And there was a moment where Leeds were already 6-0 up through Brett Ferris. Interception, and any other of the past 10 years, Danny Maguire would have caught it, and he just couldn't grasp it. And he thought, if they go on there, 12-0 up, who knows what happens. But it looks like they're getting closer to him, but I guess it's a matter of getting closer now and trying to finish as high in the middle eights as possible, as quickly as possible, because that's where they're going to be.
Yeah, it is, simple as that. But you know, it's like everybody else, so near but yet so far. When you looked at maybe the performance on Friday night, again the spirit were there and a bit of commitment, but you don't expect mistakes at times what Leeds were doing. But take nothing away from Catalans, they're riding pretty high from there. But yeah, Leeds need to now start thinking about the middle eights and getting some combinations going and getting some form back, getting that confidence back. And as we know, the news this week that Zach Aireken wants to leave. So again, just a little bit of a ruffle in the dressing rooms, as may say. But Leeds now, they know exactly where they're going to be, and they need to start getting some combinations right and getting the confidence back.
Well, Liam Sutcliffe played there on Friday. I don't know if you think he's a long-term fullback or not, but
no,
guess with the situation we know he's going, would you pick him again for the rest of the season, Aireken?
It's an interesting one, isn't it? You've got to look to the future, and on form, no, you wouldn't. It's as simple as that. No, you wouldn't.
And that's the the fall from grace, which really is the most marked, is it? Because he was the man of steel last year, the best player in the competition, England fullback, won all the trophies, this, that, and the other, and this year he has completely represented where Leeds are. Just completely. I don't like saying players have performed poorly, but he has performed poorly compared to last season.
Oh, he has. It's been shocking, to be honest with you. You know, I'm not afraid to say it, Richard.
I mean, you're allowed, because you're a Hall of Fame.
You know, it's been shocking, and a lot of the Leeds players have. You know, it's not just down to him. Why Leeds are at the bottom of the league. It's a conservative thing where big players and you know, to senior players, quite simply, have not done the business. And great that the young players who are coming in there, they've not let them down. And, you know, with Jordan Lilly's doing OK, Astor Golden's doing OK, Jamie Kynos from Arne has been the best player so far for the Rhinos. But it's them senior players who have been the big disappointment. And there's nobody been bigger than the Man of Steel himself, and he won all the trophies last year. But, yeah, it's going to be a big question for Mackinaw when he gets himself back after the bit of a shoulder problem, when he's ready for selection, if he's going to pick him there. But he's got to look to the future, and I'll be very surprised, Richie, to be honest with you, if he plays for Leeds again.
And, you know, we've talked for weeks about how little they're producing going forward, but 280 points now are by far the lowest in the division. Keith Galloway went off in the first minute. I think he was injured in the first tackle. So Kindhorst had to come off the bench early for that. And young Sam Hallis, I think he made his debut at the Magic weekend. The young players are performing well. It's, as you say, the senior players. And we saw a rare sighting of Bo Falloon on Friday as well. So, you know, I guess he's got to, got to
Richie,
do something now.
Richie, I'm not getting excited over that. So I'm not getting excited over him playing because, well, he's not good enough. Simple as that.
And even worse news, these, of course, is their under-19s were 12-0 up in the last 10 minutes against Wigan and lost that game as well. So, the Catalans, though, third in the table, they should have won that game by more. I didn't catch Laurent Fresneau's press conference because I was too busy, sadly, but I'm sure he must have been very frustrated because they had so much possession in that game, as I said, and we'll hear from Brian McDermott later. The defensive effort from Leeds was as good as you could expect, but the Catalans will have to be disappointed that they didn't score a lot more points in that game because it should have been more comfortable.
Yeah, there would have been, and I would imagine the coach himself, certainly when he has the video session and the remit session after the weekend, because, you know, the top four from points for and against, it could come down to that, Richie, as well. So, you know, these sort of games, they've got to start taking them sort of opportunities, and if they can beat teams by 18, 20, 24 points, and they've got to go on with that because it could quite clearly become whether you're going to play at home or away in the top four, that you get that fixture to get yourself to the grand final. So it could be a bit of a concern for the Catalans.
And they had two 40-20s from two different players, Tomas Bosque and Morgan Escarre, who was great on his comeback from injury. And from those two 40-20s, they only got the penalty, 2 points out of that. It was a strange second half for the Catalans. And the final team in the top four, the Wigan Warriors, a victory for them away at the Salford Red Devils. And Wigan are just grinding things out at the moment. I guess they're the most dangerous team in the competition because they just keep grinding out win after win.
We've been saying this now for the last 6 or 7 weeks, haven't we? And I've said it now and I'll say it again, I think it's about the fourth time. Sean Wayne will be the happiest coach in Super League. He knows his team are playing nowhere near the potential. He's just starting to get his halfbacks now in Williams and Manny Smith there. He's not had them for most of the season. So, yeah, Wayne will be delighted. The scoreline itself, you know, reflects that it was a pretty close game. I think Wigan were quite cleared until around about 8 minutes to go in the second half, and they dropped a couple of balls in their own 22, which made the scoreline quite respectable. But we're going to go about the business nicely. We know they've had that little bit of a discipline problem this week, but they will sort that out internally. They'll sort it out professionally. And as I've said, mate, and I've said it on more than one occasion this season, Sean Wayne will be the happiest coach in Super League because he's in the right position, still in the cup, and not playing to the best of their ability, and he knows there's plenty more to come.
So the top four as we have them, Hull, Warrington, Catalans and Wigan, are those going to be the top four come the end of the regular season?
Simple answer, yes.
So no hope for Saints, Castleford, Wakefield, Widnes, Hawkins, the Rovers.
Simple answer, no.
Well, I guess
I'm not going to put any spin on anything, Richie. No, there's your top four, and that's it. Simple as that.
I guess unlike last year, where Hull would have, you know, had the ambitions to get into the top four, and they just didn't have enough points going into the top eight, going into the Super Eights. If you know the likes of Wakefield, Widnes, and Hull KR, they'll be just happy to be making up the numbers, won't they?
Of course they will. They'll be happy just to make up the numbers and get some decent crowds in that top eight mini league situation there, and not worry about the threat of relegation and any sort of added pressure. So they'll just be delighted to be part of it.
I've got a quote here from the Bradford Bulls coach Rowan Smith, who Mark's been speaking to. Quote: "I don't see Adam O'Brien as an 80-minute player at this stage." I'm guessing you're going to disagree with that.
Oh, geez. I'm astonished. He doesn't see Adam O'Brien as an 80-minute player. Has he not seen Adam O'Brien play for the last 3 or 4 years?
Is this just because this is the modern-day thing, that people don't play in those positions, don't play 80 minutes?
Well, I find it quite astonishing. Well, I'll tell you what, then. Tell you what you do with Adam O'Brien. You start him off, and then it seemed like Adam Milner, you know, because Adam Milner, for mine at Cass, he's Mr. Consistency. He's the one, he's the hung-tong hero there. And what Adam Milner does, he plays for that 65, 70 minutes, then bring him off. That's what you should do with O'Brien. And he's not an 80-minute player. Well, I'll tell you what, I'd check his CV out, Ronan Smith, to see how good a coach he is then. Honestly, I'm not having that. Adam O'Brien's not an 80-minute player. Boy, oh boy, I think he should get to Specsavers. Jeez.
So we're letting you loose on the public tomorrow, Gary, because we're off to Pontefract Racecourse for Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire Live at 6 o'clock tomorrow.
Looking forward to that.
I say you must be looking forward to it. You're asking me for tips earlier. You're asking the wrong person.
We'll come up. What we're going to do, I'm just going to put the jockeys' colours on the silks, or names, or what we're going to do, because at this moment in time, the way we're trying to tip the Rugby League forecast, we're miles away, Richie, aren't we?
We've not been too bad. We had Matty Smith goal away from, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And here today, but no. But, and I say, the stadium, it's the first time I've been in Bradford for many, many years when the sun's still shining. It's baking hot here, and the Dewsbury Rams, quality. The Bradford Bulls, I'm afraid to say, totally, totally cold. To say here at the Bulls, it's baking hot.
You know, there's a special rugby league named races tomorrow.
Oh, is he? At, what are the names of them? Have you?
I'm just trying to find the race car now, but I'm having trouble with my computer. But there's the races are named after. You know, we've got the Huddersfield Giants Novice Auction Filly Stakes. That's the opener at 6:45.
All right. So I would imagine some Huddersfield fans might want to say, well, some auction some of the players off.
Then the final three races, we've got the Wakefield Trinity Wildcats Handicap,
right,
the Castle Tigers Handicap, and the Featherstone Rovers Handicap.
Right,
so,
right.
We'll have to pick some winners in those.
Well, Cass have won, so, yeah, Steve Gill will be very happy. My good mate Mark Campbell at Featherstone Rovers, he'll be delighted after that performance last week at Blackpool, so he'll be a happy man. Michael Carter, oh, well, Michael should still be pretty happy because of the league position, what they're in, and the Huddersfield Giants, Paul Anderson, well, I don't think we'll be seeing too many smiles on Paul's faces tomorrow, do you?
I think we'll have to look for horses who are wearing the same colours as the clubs, won't we? That's obviously got to be the... the plan.
Right, right. No, we need a proper horseman who's going to give us some tips. It's as simple as that, Richard. Let's not be making excuses.
I forgot about the other game on Friday, which you actually were at, Huddersfield and Castleford, and a very important win for Castleford.
Oh, very much so. Very much so, and I say the Giants himself, you know, they were desperate for the win. Not just desperate for that win, but they needed to win six out of the last seven fixtures to get anywhere near for that top eight. But, yeah, Cass, after that quality performance against Wigan before, even though they got beat, it was still a good performance, and I say Luke Gale celebrating that new 5-year contract. But as I said, Junior Moores, he's just like Minicello with the footwork, what he's got, and the strength, what he's got there in his offloading game, and that left-hand edge when he's there with Jake Webster and Dennis Solomon, it's got to be the best left edge in Super League. And Cass all round from 1 to 17, sheer quality. As I mentioned, Adam Miller, Mr. Consistency, the unsung hero in that Castleford side. And for the Huddersfield Giants, well, they're certainly going to be playing in the middle eights. They're not going to make the top eight now. And the question was on Friday night still, and I've said it a few times now over the last two or three years, when the pressure is on, quite clearly, they bottle it and they come up empty, Richie.
It seems that way, doesn't it? Get involved at RRL on our white. And I guess, I think we have to dress up smart tomorrow for the races. I think we have to dress in the proper...
Oh, do we?
Well, we're in the parade ring, so we might end up on the telly. We'll have to wave at the camera.
Oh, right. Right, so we have to we have to be smart, do we?
We have to check with the gaffer, but...
You're the gaffer, aren't you?
No.
I can say that because he's not here.
I think your friend, Dr. Marwan's got a runner tomorrow, isn't he?
Has he? Yeah, right.
I think Gabrielle the Tiger, which is a well-named horse for... a rugby league night.
Right, well, stick out a tweet to him then, Richie. Just see how it goes tomorrow. If he fancies it, then we can look at that one, can't we? Eh? But no, we're looking to a great night, and you know, hopefully there'll be many fans there. It'll be quite easy because it's well, mix it if it's Wakefield, Cass and Featherstone, you know, from a fan's point of view. But hey, listen, let's just get there and have a great night, and let everybody in rugby league enjoy it, eh?
Indeed. Join us tomorrow from 6 if you're not heading down to Pontefract. You can hear us live from the course on the radio show. Gary, I'll let you go, and hopefully Mark will reappear shortly. And we shall see you tomorrow at Pontefract.
Richie, looking forward to it. And as ever, here from the Bradford Bulls. Never seen sight like this before. The sun's shining and everybody's baking hot. That's just myself, because I'm the only one left.